We welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, June 28th, 2020. In our prayer requests for this week, we add Gloria Stray, who recently was diagnosed with the COVID-19 virus, a positive test. She's feeling very well. Her symptoms are mild, but we nevertheless ask you to remember Gloria in your prayers, as she now has to spend a considerable amount of time in quarantine. We also include Diane Foley, who a couple of weeks ago received a positive test for the coronavirus, and she is doing well at her home at the Lutheran home in Wauwatosa. Please continue to remember Diane for healing so that she might transition back to her regular room as soon as possible. We rejoice with Wayne and Bonnie Johnson, who report to us that their granddaughter Jenna is improving after having suffered a seizure in her home a few weeks ago, but prayers for healing and a diagnosis for her might be also in the offing. And finally, Chuck Giuliani requests prayers as he is going in for some testing and then a procedure on July 1st, and so we ask for prayers on his behalf. Our mission of the month continues to be the World Mission Prayer League support that we introduced to you last week. We commend that to you and ask for your generous support of the work that WIMPLE, as it is known, does around the world. We begin our worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We now take a few moments for silent reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. I sing for all that you've done for me.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, for Jesus' sake, you have welcomed us into your kingdom and given us abundant and eternal life. Set us free from the power of sin and death, and send us forth to serve and welcome others, seeing in them the very presence of your Son, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 28. Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah, before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From earlier times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as only truly sent by the Lord, only if his prediction comes true. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160, responsively. Look on my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law.
Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise.
Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees.
Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws.
Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes.
I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word.
See how I love your precepts. Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love.
All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 7. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also die to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what was once, to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's having a wonderful week. Now, if you were listening to the Gospel this morning, you might be a little bit confused, and I understand I was a little confused too. But in this reading, Jesus was kind of talking about how we should welcome people. Now, he's known for welcoming people who might otherwise be kind of looked down on. He showed his love for children, even though some kids at that time weren't really valued. He went to people who were sick and hurting, people who were outcast, and people who had done some pretty bad things. He cared for them, and he loved them, and he welcomed them into God's family. Because of this, we know that he welcomes us. He loves us. So much that he died for us, allowing us to be welcomed as a part of the kingdom of heaven. His arms are wide and they're open for us to rush into his big hug, his blessed hug. We also know that he wants us to welcome others. Now, this is kind of a weird time for us, so we can't really go up and give everyone hugs just yet, but we can still invite people to church and give them a wave and say hi to them when they come in. There are other ways that we can show that people are welcome. We can call them and send them cards and drive by their houses and wave to them. I do that a lot with my friends. So I just want you to know that you are loved, you are welcomed, and there are ways that we can welcome other people even in these pretty hard times. So now we're going to have a Pray After Natalie prayer. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful week. Thank you for welcoming us into your family. Please help us to welcome others and demonstrate your love to the people in our lives. In your name, we pray and play. Amen.
These days in our country, there is a great deal of attention being paid to statues, and in some cases, institutions and buildings that bear the names of history's leaders in government and education. If you've been paying any attention to this, you know it revolves around the racial strains our nation is feeling, sadly, again, over the killing of some of our nation's black citizens. Calls to do something are wide-ranging. The best of them involve peaceful civic action and the church in prayer, even taking the lead in sober, honest conversation and self-examination with black brothers and sisters in Christ. But calls to action often descend to the most convenient things. So we've heard what sound like hasty, even self-serving apologies without reflection on what we might be apologizing for, and more importantly, how amends for our actions or inaction might be made. Racial reconciliation is hard work, if much needed, and like anything lasting, it'll take time. Statues, in the meantime, are not faring well. They can come down quickly, and perhaps some of them should, or at least be repositioned in places that can give the persons involved context as to their actions and the era in our nation's history when they lived. Statues are interesting things, and that they have been around forever, it seems, and with all due respect to the intentions to honor contributions individuals have made, I've never been as fond of statues as pigeons seem to be. They have a tendency to become idols. In point of fact, that is precisely what they started out as in the ancient world. Witness Paul's visit to Athens, as recorded in Acts 17, when he visited a place called the Areopagus, in Greek, the Hill of Ares, a god of thunder and war. The place was loaded with statues of gods, and when the Greeks couldn't think of any more specific gods to honor, they covered their bases and erected another one. It might have been an altar, not a statue, with the inscription, "To an unknown god." I'm not here saying that all statues are evil, or that the current rush, you might even say frenzy, to tear many of them down is wise. They have their place, if nothing else, as placeholders in history. But it seems to me that, for better, and sometimes for worse, statues represent a longing for the past, even if they honor people who, again, for better or worse, were innovators. Many, not all certainly, saw things as they were and tried to make them different, better. Those leaders did anything but maintain a slavish devotion to the past. If they had, chances are rather good their likenesses would never have been preserved in marble or bronze. Jesus was so very much more than an innovator, but like them, albeit in cosmic and eternal ways, with other famous figures in history, Jesus changed things. That is what our lesson from Matthew today is, in the final analysis, about. We need to do a lot of digging to get to that message, however, because it is couched in some of Jesus' most difficult, stringent words and warnings. There is nothing polished in this address of our Lord, nothing warm and comforting. Jesus comes to a person by means of the Holy Spirit, and if that heart receives him, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, to all who received him, who believed in his name, Jesus gives the power to become children of God, born of God. Our Matthew lesson says that if a heart has received Jesus, then allegiances will change. Family is not obliterated by our Lord. There are too many passages in Scripture that extol the virtues and importance of family and family life, and Jesus is not contradicting them, nor could he possibly here have been undoing the fourth commandment to honor mother and father. But Jesus is saying our highest allegiance, as children of God, born not of the flesh but of the Spirit, is God. And God changes us. The sort of change of which our Lord speaks cannot be limited to a word like innovation. It is much more decisive than that. It is total devotion to God things, and that, for better or for worse, means that it will peel a person away from those who are not thus devoted. It is not the intent of Christ to divide, but it was, he says, the inevitable result of his inhabiting a person's heart and shaping a person's mind. This passage, which obviously awakens in us thoughts of the fourth commandment, is really about the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods. This command, the most important, creates in this world division because it calls for devotion. And while we might say, as some of our culture's statues may invite, that faith in God is a call to cling to the old ways, read the better days, in fact, faith in God calls a person to enter spaces both personally and by extension societally we've not entered before. Some mistakenly think that means smash any and everything received from a previous generation. But such voices themselves are engaging in deceit, for usually what lies behind such a statement is, I plan to follow God in my own way. Nothing could be further from what Jesus is saying, however. Following God means following, not innovating upon. It means allegiance to what he said and did, and the clearest expression of what God said and did is Jesus Christ. That is why he told his first followers, his first disciples, as the Father sent me, I send you. In our lesson today, Jesus even refers to himself as an apostle of God. In verse 40, he says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and the one who sent me. The word translated as sent in that passage is from a Greek word, apostolanta, which means apostle. And the only image that matters to an apostle is the image of the one who sent him, who sends her into the world as a representation of the sender. These words of our Lord, so stark and stunning, are nonetheless intended to prepare and comfort. Our Christian faith may divide us from those who do not hold that faith, who have not received Christ, for whom the mind and manner of Jesus is inconvenient and off-putting at the very least. But the passage is also intended to unite us to a Son of Israel, the Son of Man, Jesus, who, again, as John chapter 1, verse 11 said, came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But you have received him by faith, through grace and the Holy Spirit. So what does this mean? Well, if I can return to my statue illustration from earlier, receiving Christ means nothing less than tearing down and replacing the old you, the way I used to be, and learn to like myself. It means tearing down by the Holy Spirit the old you, the one fashioned by means of your sinful self. It means looking at the person the public or your family sees and knows and asking yourself, honestly, is this really who the one who sent me into the world is? Are the folks who welcome me welcoming Jesus, who lives in me? Or are they getting a chiseled, polished person who they can abide, heck, even honor, but not the man, not the woman that was created in Christ Jesus to be his follower? This passage of our Lord takes us back to the first commandment and asks us to ask ourselves, who am I and who is my first allegiance to? And if the answer to that question is, I'm the one Jesus died for, the sinner that only a Savior like Jesus could love, then you've got yourself pegged perfectly, and you're ready to go. You are a child of God, and nothing can separate you from him. Truly, Jesus says, none of those sorts of folks will ever lose their reward. Amen.
This past that has not proved me guilty in your sight. The best I have to offer are these filthy rags, yet you love me. All things in me call for my rejection. All things in you lead my acceptance. I am guilty. guilty but pardoned. By your grace I've been set free. I am ransomed through the blood you shed for me. I was dead in my transgressions, but life you brought to me. I am reconciled through mercy. To the cross I cling. Sin but bought with a price, redemption that was purchased through the blessed cross that you bore for me. You bore for me. I am guilty but pardoned. By your grace I've been set free. I am ransomed through the blood you shed for me. Dead in my transgressions, but life you brought to me. I am reconciled through mercy. To the cross I cling. To the cross I my rejection. All things in you plead my acceptance. All things in me call for my rejection. All things in you plead my acceptance. I am guilty but pardoned. By your grace I've been set free. I am ransomed through the blood you shed for me. Oh, I was dead in my transgressions, but life you brought to me. I am reconciled through mercy. To the cross I cling. To the cross I
profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Save and defend your whole Church, purchase with the precious blood of Christ. Give it pastors and ministers filled with your Spirit, and strengthen it through the word and the sacraments. Sanctify and unite your people in all the world, that the one holy Church may bear witness to you, the Creator and Redeemer of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love, and dispose our days in your peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Prosper the labor of those who work for the well-being of others. Grant your wisdom and aid to all governing officials, so that they would serve all people under their charge, in accordance with your holy will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sanctify our homes with your presence and joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism, and enable parents to rear them in a life of faith and devotion. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant strength and perseverance to those who work to protect us, especially for those who serve in the armed forces, for healthcare workers, and for all first responders. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort with the grace of your Holy Spirit all who are in sorrow or need, who face sickness or affliction in mind or body. We pray that you'd minister with tender care to Wayne and Bonnie Johnson's granddaughter, Jenna, and that you'd bring relief and healing to Diane Foley, Chuck Giuliani, Gloria Stray, and to all those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in faith and are now at rest in your glorious presence. Keep us in fellowship with all your saints, and bring us at last to the joy of your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
He felt the storms of human pain. He felt temptation's whelming seas. He felt the tears of sorrow's rain. All this and more he felt for me. Because he knows my every strife and is acquainted with my grief. I can't be shaken in this life. The friend of sinners walks with me. The friend of sinners walks with me. Father's every word, the law he followed perfectly. So all God's pleasure he secured. All this and more he felt for me. Because his righteous life is mine, and all his merits now I own. I am a child of God. loved and known. I am adopted, loved and known. And Jesus left his heavenly home. His face was set on Calvary, the steepest hill he climbed alone. All this and more he did for me, because he died once for all time and bore the curse of death and hell. Final forgiveness here is mine, so it is finished, all is well. Yes, it is finished, all is well.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.